Well, I'm going to start out by saying that I by no means have this figured out or have got rid of my fear in evangelism. Every time I evangelize, my knees are knocking as well. But hopefully, together I can share what's helped me, and hopefully there's others who can share what's helped them. And the goal of this is to exhort or encourage each other to go forward. That's the point of the church, as we've been learning. So I'm going to start out with an article I ran across a while ago that I thought was really true. And it's about, it's from a church planter, and he wrote something about the three main fears that prevent Christians from sharing the Gospels with others. And the first one, he said, was not knowing what to say. And I can relate to that for sure. Not knowing what to say, that can often prevent us from talking to somebody. So it's a good thing to know what to say and to have even memorized some things that you can say. So he writes in here, he suggests that Christians can look at the words in the Bible at 1 Peter 3:15, reading, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." He said that evangelism should not be overcomplicated. However, we should focus on the central messages, such as God sending his only Son to die for man's sins. In evangelism, God has given us the message we need to share with unbelievers. The whole Bible tells the story of creation, man's fall into sin, and the provision of a Savior through Jesus Christ. But the Scriptures do not only give the words necessary for unbelievers to know the content of the Gospel. The Bible also gives the words necessary to encourage Christians to evangelize, especially when it comes to overcoming fears. Then the next big fear, he says, is the fear of feeling alone and powerless. This fear is healthy to have, for it is a reminder that you must rely on the Holy Spirit, that we all must rely on the Holy Spirit in evangelism. The Great Commission to disciple the nations ends with this promise, "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Through his Spirit, Jesus is with you wherever you go. And in evangelism, we should all rely on other believers in praying for us as well. Especially if you know you're going into a difficult evangelistic situation. It's a good thing to get others to pray for you, because that'll give you the courage to go forth as well, knowing that somebody's praying for you to go. And he said, finally, the third fear, he said, is the fear of being mocked or upsetting others even. Those are kind of tied together. Rejection, ridicule, and anger come with the territory in evangelism. Yet we know we are told not to fear even the most violent of reactions against the gospel. Matthew 10:28 says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Believers should be excited about telling others of Jesus and his victory over sin and death, and not fear the reaction of the people you're talking to. So here's the question for you and for me and for all of us. What fear is keeping you from telling others of Jesus? Because usually it comes down to some sort of fear. If you prepare what to say, seek and rely upon the Spirit's presence and power, and fill your heart with the Lord, you'll find you cannot but tell others about God. For remember that evangelism is telling others the good news. Sharing your faith is a scary prospect. You can lose face and friends as a result of communicating this narrow-minded message of the gospel, even when you do so in love. When choosing between being accepted by others and sharing the good news with others, too often we choose silence. So fear is the biggest culprit that keeps most of us from evangelizing. Does anybody have anything besides fear that keeps them from evangelizing? Or is it mostly fear?
I would say what to say is a big deal as well.
For sure.
How do you start?
That's often the biggest one, I think, is just not knowing what to say.
Shamefully, I would say laziness and love of the world.
Right.
Because it takes work.
It does, yeah.
Really? You have to go and...
Yeah. Yeah, and even even that fear of being like losing face, or even the fear of, especially with family and stuff, you want to keep the relationship, and you know if you share the gospel, it can make things rocky for sometimes a very long time, or even destroy that relationship. So sometimes we do that out of that, but that's a love. You're loving that relationship more than you're loving the person, and you're loving that comfort of that relationship more than you love the person, because true love is telling him the truth, right? Because if we realize that there's only two paths, either heaven or hell when we die, you know, there's nothing more important we can share. So.
Well, I can say in response to Ryan is I've actually never gone out looking to evangelize.
Right.
Not to say that I haven't had conversations with people.
Right.
It's just I wasn't looking for them. They kind of just grew up as a conversation itself.
Right. And that's a big part of evangelism, is just where those opportunities come up is to be ready to speak. You know, it is good to go find opportunities as well, but primarily each of us, God brings people into our lives all the time who need the gospel, who come with questions, and for us, we need to look for them open doors and be ready to speak then into those open doors. So, any other comments or?
Well, I'm working in Calgary, and I have been trying to be a light to the world. And honestly, like, I have all my excuses. I'm really tired from work and this and that. And I'm actually on a job site with a lot of people, and I never hear the word Christ ever anywhere I go in Calgary. I'm not associating with believers yet.
Right.
And so on the job site, I hear swearing and depravity and everything. And, you know, I went out for something to eat after work Thursday night, and people on the street talking about what great it is in Las Vegas and everything. And by the time Friday came around, I was wet and cold from work and run down, and I actually felt defeated because I hadn't spread the good news of the gospel.
Right.
I felt like I failed.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, I think we can all relate to situations where we've failed, and you have those feelings of guilt and stuff. And that's where we need each other, too, to have brothers or sisters that you can say, hey, pray for me, I'm in this situation now, pray that God would open a door where I can speak up, right? So, and that's why evangelism always has to be a community event centered in the church, that you're relying not just on yourself, but you're relying on everybody around you to do this. It has to be a church effort. Well, as we've been learning in the Doctrine of Ecclesiology, it's the church that has these keys of the gospel for the world, and it's the church that's called to be a light. So that's made up of individuals, but we are to encourage each other along this path. So,
well, and I'm also a weak evangelist, because if the opportunity knocks and somebody is broken or willing to listen, then it's quite easy for me to spread the good news of
right.
the gospel. But to just stand up in front of, you know, people who are, they just don't want to hear it. They're
right.
Weak.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's definitely, of course, it's always easier when somebody's willing to listen and stuff and more open. And there's a need for both. You know, we are called to be a light in the world too. And when we go on the streets and stuff, people don't necessarily all want to hear, but still love to share the truth. Whereas in more family situations and stuff, we can be more, we can wait, like, find those opportunities where it's more, like, it flows better, whatever. You're not right in somebody's face, shout out. You can do this in a more gentle fashion, right? Find the opportunities, or even make the opportunities by trying to organize situations so you're one-on-one with them, or take them out for lunch or something and say, I got something to talk to you about, right? There's many ways you can do it in a way that shows them that you do care for them and love them, so.
And pray.
Definitely. Prayer is always the biggest thing.
Acts 4:31, the disciples were praying for boldness. And that's what I need for sure.
Right. So, and if we want to share our faith, we need to have a working understanding of the gospel. This is important for us as Christians too. But understanding and sharing the gospel isn't nearly as difficult as you might think. And once you feel equipped, once you know, and once you have a plan or what you're going to say, then it's not nearly as hard as we make it. It is always still hard. but it's not as hard as we make it, and it's always very rewarding.
I've always found, Peter, that the hardest thing about evangelism is just the first word.
Right.
And right after that, the Spirit actually starts bringing things to mind.
Right.
If I overthink it, then I reason myself out of it.
Right.
But if I just go, I've never once had it where the Lord's like, I give you no word. It's just,
right.
You take that step of obedience, and the Lord says, okay, you trust me, here's my promise, I will give you the words to say.
And God does promise to give us the words we need in those situations. So, but yeah, I can testify to that. It's always the hardest thing is to say the first word. Once the conversation is going, it's usually not nearly as bad as we made it out to seem. But getting those first words out, those are the hard ones. So, the gospel is the good news about Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ has done to reconcile sinners to God. And I just made some points of what the story is. So we start in Genesis. There's the one and only God who is holy made us in his image to know him. It's in Genesis beginning. But we sinned and cut ourselves off from him in Genesis 3. And then in his great love, God sent forth his son, Jesus Christ, to come as king and rescue his people from their enemies. Most significantly, their own sin. And Jesus established his kingdom by acting as both a mediating priest and a priestly sacrifice. He lived a perfect life and died on the cross, fulfilling the law himself and taking on himself the punishment for the sins of many. Then he rose again from the dead, showing that God accepted his sacrifice and that God's wrath against us has been exhausted. He now calls us to repent of our sins and trust in Christ alone for our forgiveness. If we repent of our sins and trust in Christ, we are born again into a new life, an eternal life with God. So that's good news to anybody. And a good way to summarize this good news, and a way that I've used many times, been really helpful for me, is to biblically unpack the words God, man, Christ, response. Those four words. So you always start with God. So you just explain to somebody who God is. God is the creator of all things. Genesis 1, right? You can just move through the Bible. He is perfectly holy, worthy of all worship, and will punish sin because he is holy. So you can just start out with who God is, right? We all know, if you're a Christian, you have some understanding of who God is. So we can just start with God. And then you move to man, right? God created man in his own image. But we sinned, we rebelled against him. And now we have all inherited a sin nature. And you can just say, right, you don't have to look far around you to see that everybody's a sinner, right? We live in a sin-cursed world. There's trouble and there's pain and there's suffering all around us, right? And that's all the cause of sin. We're all sinners. And you can, all these points, you can flesh out as much or as little as you need to, right? You can.
I like how you said we're all sinners, because sometimes when people are being witnessed to, they think we're pointing our finger, and they think that there's a bunch of self-righteous,
right,
sinless Christians.
Yeah.
And I always make it very clear.
Yeah.
And when I see the good evangelists on YouTube, it's always very gentle, and I'm a sinner too, and I've
right.
broken God's law.
Yeah.
And I need redemption.
Right, and I'm sharing this because I've been forgiven, and I've found this good news, and that's why I'm sharing it with you, because this is the greatest gift that I've ever received, and now I can share with you. And of course, you move to Christ. Jesus Christ, who is fully God and fully man, lived a sinless life, died on the cross to bear God's wrath in the place of all who would believe in him, and rose from the grave in order to give his people eternal life. And of course, there's many Bible verses that go with that, right? And if anybody's interested, I got a whole bunch listed that I can send you that you can. What was helpful for me was I wrote a whole bunch of these verses and tried to memorize them. You know, there's even like for sin, for all of sin and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life, Romans 6:23. It's good to memorize some of these verses that help you along the path of the Bible, right, and what the gospel is. And then, of course, the fourth point is response. God calls everywhere. God commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and trust in Christ in order to be saved. So this does four words: God, man, Christ, response. Those are very helpful for me. And you basically just take somebody through the story of the Bible. And you can do that very easily with, it's even very, with a family member or a friend or something. I've used this and just start in the beginning. Look what it says in Genesis 1:1. Start there. God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And just slowly move through and just show them right from the Bible that, well, man sinned. This is where it happened, Genesis 3. And just slowly move your way through, and they can, and it's not just you talking, but you're showing them from the Bible that this is the story of the Bible. So I know that's been really helpful for me. Is there any comments on that, or anything anybody wants to add, or things that are helpful to them?
Just a question: how do you keep on topic? Because I've had it before when I've seen, especially people from JWs or Mormons, or even Muslims, they'll, or even atheists, will talk about creation evolution, or they'll go in 100 different bunny trails.
Right.
And it's the conversation easily just goes somewhere where you don't
that. And what I've done, it doesn't always work, but a lot of times it can work, is say, can I speak to you for however many minutes, 5 minutes, and then we can discuss these questions and everything else. But I just want to relay to you this truth, because I think this is, or I know this is the truth of the scriptures, and this is the truth you need to hear. So can I have 5 minutes of your time to talk, to lay out my case, and then we can discuss after that. That sometimes works, sometimes doesn't, right? Some people still don't want to listen, but yeah, you gotta, because our goal when sharing the gospel is not like going down rabbit trails answering questions. It can be helpful to somebody, but that's not what's going to save them. Nobody gets saved because all their questions are answered, right? We as Christians can never convince, we can't prove everything in the Bible, right? We believe that Jesus walked on water. We believe a donkey spoke. Like, we believe these things that are not provable, right? And Christianity itself is, of course, the base of knowledge. Christianity is reasonable, and it's true, but there's a lot of things that we need to take by faith, right? And that's where we went through the doctrine of salvation before this. It's God who saves, right, by the Holy Spirit. So, and he saves by the preaching of the gospel, right? The gospel is the power of God to salvation, not answering questions or anything else. So that's why it's not a bad thing to answer questions and go down the sermon, but the important thing, we want to always try share the gospel and stay on that subject, because people always have questions and they always have reasons why, but a lot of times they're just excuses. They might not even totally believe them themselves, but they're using them as an excuse not to believe in God or gospel, because it hampers your life now, right? You can't sin freely, or you got to get rid of your sin, right? And we in our fallen state, we love sin, right? So, but it can be very hard for sure to try to stay on topic. So, but you just got to try, always bring it around. It's just.
What would be the best way to share the gospel with very religious people?
That's a good question. It's.
What's the guaranteed way to convert them?
Yeah. Well, there's no answer to that question. But again, the best way for me, because I come from a background where there's lots of religion and I have friends who I've talked to who are religious stuff, is always just to open the Bible. It's really the only way, because they won't listen to your words. Like, what you say has nothing to them. You can just be spouting off heresy, so. For me, that the only way that I've seen that has any effect at all or anything is just to take the Bible, open it in front of them, and say, well, look what it says. This is what it says. How can this be interpreted differently?
This isn't a strategy, but this has always helped me. 1 Corinthians 2 has been,
right,
to my understanding,
yeah,
where Paul is talking about the necessity of the Holy Spirit. Paul says,
right,
these things are interpreted or discerned only to spiritual people, and so they need,
right,
to be born again. Like,
yeah,
if we think that we do something and then they believe and then they're born again, then it's all on us. But if,
right,
if God, and people don't like the doctrine of election, but the doctrine of election has actually granted me great comfort to saying, Lord, if I'm faithful, right, God doesn't cause us, you know, he doesn't say be gymnasts, he just says faithfully so, and that's why you just have to keep showing them.
Right.
Authority of the Bible, trusting God will save his elect. This isn't hyper-Calvinistic, right? We're,
right,
winsome, we,
yeah,
season our speech, we use reason. Those,
right,
things aren't bad, but at the end of the day, the sheep will hear the voice. The elect,
right,
will hear, Jesus will draw them, but he does so not through arguments, or even Paul says, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. that your faith might rest not in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And so Paul intentionally actually, he put away clever and persuasive speech.
Right.
You know, like he made it very simple, the gospel message. And it's foolishness in chapter 1 to those who are perishing, but to those who are called, to those who believe he is Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 have always been very helpful. Not I don't preach that to people, but it's kind of my presupposition is this is foolishness until God opens their eyes.
Right.
So you're just praying that God will somehow open their eyes because faith comes by hearing.
Right. And hearing
so
the word of God.
So. I'm always just saying, Lord, please regenerate.
Right. Yeah, and that's really what it comes down to. We need to pray for them and get others to pray for them. And we need to share the word of God and the gospel because that's the only thing that will save. It doesn't matter if what they are, right? If they're there's really only two worldviews. You're either with God or against God. And all those against God need to hear the gospel, right? And that's what will save. It doesn't matter if you're religious or an atheist or anywhere in between that. It's still the gospel you need to hear, right? And that's what God will use to save him if there is people. And we know that God's sheep hear his voice, right? So we can go out trusting that sharing the folly, right, of the cross, which is, yeah, 1 Corinthians, for the word of God is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. Right? And that's our hope, so.
I was thinking 1 John is helpful, I think, for even atheists, but for religious people, because you basically, the text exposes that those who walk in light, or those who are children of God walk in the light, and those that don't walk in darkness.
Right.
And that then that darkness component, they themselves testify in their heart. They might not say it to you.
Right.
But when you're talking to them, it's like, look, do you walk in light?
Right.
Oh, sure. And then you go through it, and they themselves, even though they might disagree with you externally, in their mind and in their heart, maybe the Spirit will then start prodding them, saying, "Look, you're not a child of light."
Right.
And we see that in 1 John, where that I mean, it's clear those that are in darkness run away from the light. Right.
Right. Yeah.
So in the conversations with people. There is that component that they themselves know, you know, hopefully by the prodding of the Spirit, that they are children of darkness.
Right.
And then for the, what Marvin raised, what I found helpful, because, yeah, rabbit trails are a million a second, but I always picture truth as a, truth that is something that is hung on Christ. That so every conversation, any truth claim, any, it always comes back to Christ. Well, right. What do you think of the parting of the sea? You know, I don't know, but Christ said, Moses, you know what I mean?
It's like right.
Every single subject always brings it back to Christ. And then
right.
From there, that's the gospel of, well, why is he truth, or the essence of truth?
Right.
So I always find it helpful, no matter how far we get, by Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you go back right to the first point of God, if God created the heavens and the earth, what does it take for him to part the Red Sea or to have a donkey speak, right? He created a donkey by the and he created everything by the word of his power, so.
But that's also authenticated by Christ himself.
Right. It's yeah.
Like, I don't know, but Christ said this.
Yeah. And yeah, and he's been given all authority, so.
Yeah. And then you have to wrestle with the historicity of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Then again, that leads to the gospel.
Yeah.
How do you know it's true? Well, Jesus Christ said so. I mean, in some obviously some areas they might not.
Right.
But he has probably covered almost the totality of the Old Testament either by authenticating the authors or the individuals themselves. How do you know Abraham lived? Well, Jesus said.
Right. Yeah. For sure.
And
I think
another,
Deanne.
Oh,
I think Deanne had her hand up for first.
Because the. Remember, we're studying Titus 3, and I had no idea the richness of Titus, the book of Titus, but Titus 3. And I just was finishing up Titus 3 this week, and it says, to remind them to be submissive, he's talking to the Christian populace on how to witness to the pagans, who were extreme on Crete. Okay, obey the authorities. And he says, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people.
Right.
That was the modeling he asked them to do. And then he goes on, he says, for we ourselves were once foolish.
Right.
He goes on to say, if we take that attitude, I saved by grace,
yeah,
but this is my modeling to you.
Right.
Especially to family, because they can see you at the worst.
Right,
and then
definitely.
You turn around and say, but Jesus saved me. Or at work.
Right.
This is what is going. And then the rest of Titus, he shares how you say it. He gives
right.
it in a nutshell in about six sentences, the gospel right there.
Right.
What to say.
There is so much help in the word for evangelism, right? There's so much encouragement.
Oh, yes. No, I just wanted to speak it came to me a while back that what is my mission when I'm trying to evangelize, because a lot of people want to argue and so forth, and you can get thrown off track, running trails, whatever. So I try and focus on three points, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We need to get that clear. Jesus said there is no way to the Father, to heaven, except through him.
Yeah.
And we must repent of our sins. So if I can focus on those three points, that helps
right.
me, you know, through the fear and trembling.
Right. So
all I am is a messenger. There's no power
right.
in the messenger, but there's power in the message. Right.
Right. So, and that's the thing. It's just good to get, like, he's got his 3 points, you know. It's good, my 4 points, and these are not mine. I found them out from, I think, 9 Marks first posted them. But it's good to have those things that, this is the central issue. This is what I need to say. And whatever else comes, I need to get this out. And I think it's really important for us as Christians, going along with what Deanne said too, is to be honest. Like, if we don't know an answer to a question, don't try and make something up. Or, you know, you can honestly say, I don't know the answer to the question. I do know this, right? It's to be very genuine and honest and just not pretend like you got everything figured out even, or that, hey, I got saved and now I don't sin anymore, I don't do anything. It's just like, no, this, just to be honest and be real with people, because people can always see through a false face or false facade you put on. So just to be genuine, right? That's, you know, the Bible calls us to be that, right? So, and to be gentle, remembering what we once were. So all these things are just helpful to, that, you know, we need to form our evangelism and how we go out, how we represent the gospel by what the Bible says, right? And that's where it's great to have each other as well, because we all have different personalities and different ways of doing things, and we need each other to say, hey, well, maybe this would help or whatever, or you're really strong in that point, but you need a little bit of, you know, this would might help you over here, right? So that's why it has to be a group effort, because some of us can be, you know, it does happen that you can start arguing too much and become rude, and without sometimes realizing it, you can be coming on, instead of being gentle, you can become very forceful and unloving, right? So that's why it's good to have others who are more gentle, who say, hey, I think you need to be more gentle, right? We should be able to take that from each other and say, to help form us to be the best we can be, right? So, because we all have strengths and weaknesses, and that's why we're all together here, is to balance out those strengths and weaknesses and just encourage and help each other, right? So it needs to be a group effort and a joint effort. So, and of course, prayer has to be through and through, before, during, and after.
I know I'm talking a little bit.
No, that's good.
It's nice to be here instead of up there. I've been thinking through this a little bit, so you can help me think through it too, and maybe everyone else. This is going to seem very simplistic, but I'm trying not to be. I think the key to everything is just being Spirit-filled.
Right.
Because it's the Spirit. He is the Spirit of mission. And I can say all the right things, but if I'm unloving, then that's wrong, right?
Right.
And then I'm thinking about Christ, the one endowed with the Spirit. He was always about the... Like, you know, he wasn't like, okay, got to evangelize. He was just, you know, John 4. He was just keeping in step with the Spirit's leading and communion with the Father. And, oh, I'm going to go to Sychar. There's a
right.
woman at the well. You know, it just, I think as I cultivate, and that's what I was saying, when I'm too worldly, well, yeah, then I'm just thinking about myself. But if I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm just overwhelmed with God's goodness for me in Christ. And then it's the Spirit who enables me to keep the law, which is loving God and loving my neighbor. And as I'm loving my neighbor, I'll be in the
right.
Word and I'll say the things, not only really the right things, but hopefully say them rightly. And then so what Deanne says, is also true. It's not just like, okay, I said the four things, but my whole life actually commends the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not quarrelsome. I'm submissive.
Right.
You know, and yet if you're spirit-filled, it doesn't mean you're a pansy.
Right.
Because Jesus wasn't always a pansy. So you know what? You have to be careful.
Yeah.
So you're submissive and you're respectful, and yet the spirit, and that's what I think my problem is just I'm not filled with the spirit enough.
Right.
Because you know, then no one will have to put a gun to my head and say, you need to be witnessing. Because if I'm overflowing with the spirit, all of a sudden now, you know, the book by Michael Reeves helped me. It's called Delighting in the Trinity. You know, the overflow of the triune's love spills onto earth in Christ. And then that love now spills out into the church via the spirit. And then that love now spills out of the church into the world.
Right.
With the gospel. You know, but it's always the spirit.
Right.
That is central to all of this.
Yeah, and I think it really, the times that we are most in the Word and walking by the Spirit and in prayer, those are the times that evangelism comes most naturally and easiest, you know, because it just flows out of you. You're just excited about God, you're excited about the gospel, and then it just...
When people know you love them, they can sense it, actually.
Right. Yeah, because I remember when... I was talking to a fellow once, and this is just for hopefully for help, but just I was talking to him, and he was like, I don't agree with you, but I can see in your eyes that you believe what you're saying, and I appreciate you sharing this with me. You know, I don't agree, but I know that I can see that you believe what you're saying, right? And that's, you know, we just want to be there. We know what we're saying, we believe what we're saying, and we want to share that then in a way that they say they know that, hey, this is important, and this is, you know, this is the truth, this is real. This fellow obviously believes this, right? So maybe I should look into this more, right? So we just want to be real, we want to be honest, and we want to go out just filled by the Spirit and excited to talk about it. It's still going to be fearful, it's still going to be, there's still, you know, we will face opposition. It's not, there's no method that eliminates opposition. We have to go out knowing that there is going to be opposition, because the gospel is, you know, it is a stumbling block. It is an offense, because you're telling people that there's only one way to be saved, right? So it's not, there's nothing you can do that will take away the offense unless you stop preaching the gospel. So we have to go out realizing that not everybody's going to be saved, and not everybody's going to be happy with you for sharing with them, right? That's the truth of the matter. But we go out trusting God, trusting the promises He has given us, and knowing that this is the means God has ordinated for people to be saved, for us to go out, right? How will they hear unless somebody preaches to them, right? And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So we have these truths, so we know this is our duty, and it should give us great joy to be able to go out and share this message, the message that has saved us, with others, knowing that God will save His people. He has promised that. You know, we can go out in full faith. Of course, it's always still going to be hard, and that's why we need each other to encourage one another and find the brothers and sisters in our lives, you know, that can say, hey, I really want to share the gospel with this person. I'm going to be getting together with him this time. Can you be praying for me at this time? You know, or can we pray together beforehand, or then talk about it afterwards and pray again, right? Those things can really help us stay focused and on topic, right? This is, you know, we are to be fruit and light in the world, and every one of us, you know, if we're a Christian, we have the duty to share the gospel wherever God has placed us with the people in our lives, right? It is something we are called to do. We have the words of eternal life, so. But it is a hard thing, and that's why we need each other to encourage one another in this, and even keep each other on track as well, right? We all have times where we don't talk or share much and stuff, and that's why we need others to ask us, hey, have you shared the gospel with anybody recently, or any good conversations with people recently, or is there anybody I can pray for that you're talking to, or these type of questions that'll keep us going, right, and keep us on track, right? Because it's very easy to slip off the rails, and I'm just as guilty as anybody else here, so. But, and that's, again, why we need each other, so.
You'll probably pick up on it later. What are your thoughts on tracts? Because I was thinking, I'd like to bring a bunch to give them out to people here, but maybe that's something we should wait on. Because when I was first converted, I had a job that allowed me, I actually tried to become a walking draft. Oh, you have some, and then those washer ones are excellent. Yeah. Because some people might think, oh, I forgot already, God, man, Christ, response, or what are the verses? But sometimes it's just nice to have some in the car.
Right. And yeah, gospel tracts are an excellent way to share the gospel. And it's, a lot of times it's easier than talking to somebody because they can read instead of you sharing, so.
Because sometimes the walls come up when you're talking with them, but if you can say, would you read this after? Like, I've done that, because sometimes they always want to just answer. You know, Proverbs talks about, you know, one who answers a matter before he hears it is his folly and shame. And that's me often, but sometimes they're like that too, right? They're not thinking.
Right.
Because it's just, we're just so, you know, we love to argue and fight. And so, but if they're by themselves and there's no sort of pressure, sometimes I think that can be helpful too.
Right. Yeah, for sure, because there's so many testimonies of people being saved by gospel tracts, either being given to them, and even people, somebody's discarded one, picking them off the ground, you know, getting saved by, because it is the message of God. So, and of course, there's many different tracts with, there are lots of good ones. This one is one Paul Washer wrote, and he kind of follows the same four steps, and he's just got Bible verses, so he starts with the character of God. And then the depravity and condemnation of man, the great dilemma, God's action, and then man's response on the back. So I was actually going to challenge everybody today to, because I think we're getting closer in time, is to take one of these and this week give it to somebody or leave it somewhere where somebody's going to grab it. You know, because there's lots of simple ways of evangelism that we can share the gospel by just simply giving somebody a tract. You know, they can be saved with that.
When you order those tracts, can you order them in different languages?
Yeah, they come in many different. There's actually, if you're looking for low German stuff, there's more and more printed because I know, like Nate and Sheila, missionaries in Belize, they've printed so many resources now for the Mennonites and stuff down there. So there's a wealth of tracts and stuff in all languages. Like, language is definitely not an issue. So, and definitely whatever. Yeah, whatever tracks you need, you can almost find nowadays. They're very readily available. So, they've sent lots of Bibles in Low German down there as well and stuff. And so they have contacts for a lot of that stuff. So that if you need track, you can come talk to me. I can probably find you whatever you need if anybody's looking for different ones, or I can help you. I can point you in the right direction anyway. So,
I often leave one of those dollar bill tracks at Interact.
Okay. Yeah, there's lots of ways, right? Because it might sound crazy, but God can save somebody through that tract, right? Or that could be the first seed that's planted in their lives to search more of God, right? So there's many ways. You know, there's not one right way of evangelism. There's so many ways we can share the gospel, right? And there's so many ways we can get the word out. We're not limited to, it has to be on the street this time. That, you know, we have, there's people everywhere, so.
It's not the motion of the sowing, it's the seed, right? Like,
right.
Do I have to throw it overhand, underhand? What if it falls out of my pocket? Well,
that. And if you're sharing the words of God, the gospel in the Bible, you know, you just can't go wrong. If you're sharing the words of Jesus, if you're reading the scriptures to somebody, pointing them the truth of scriptures, you can't go wrong. And every time you share that with somebody, that's a good thing. Even if their reaction to it does not matter, that's in God's hands. We're just sowing, right? We just need to get seed out. So if we're faithful in that, that's what matters. The response, we got to leave that up with God, as hard as it is sometimes, especially when there are people close to us. We just need to pray for them then, right? Pray that the seed would take root. So.
Can I have one quick question, please? I'm expecting to be asked the question one day, who is this Jesus? What did he ever do for you? Why did he die on the cross? And they want a one-word answer. And I'm prepared to say, well, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, died on the cross for our sins. And if we repent of our sins and believe in Jesus Christ, we could have salvation to enter the kingdom of heaven. Otherwise, we go to hell. Jesus came again and healed lepers and all kinds of good things, and we prayed for all kinds of good things in our life on earth, but I believe he actually came to earth. The primary mission was to save our souls from hell.
Right. Yeah.
So is that correct, you think?
Yeah, it's good, because, we're not promised health or to have our pains or anything delivered now, but one day they will be. In heaven, Jesus is going to make all things right. We have that hope, right? So it doesn't matter what happens to us on earth here. That's why we shouldn't fear what happens to our body, but what happens to our soul, right? Because that's of eternal consequence. Everything down here is going to be burned up anyway. So we need to focus on the end, right? Just because you're a Christian is not going to mean that your life's going to get better or you're going to be blessed with health, wealth, and prosperity in all manners of life, right? So, and it's important even to share those type of things with people. You know, being a Christian is not going to make your life better, but it'll make it, it will in the end, because God is coming back, right? And it will, being a Christian is infinitely better than not being a Christian, even on earth if you're going through troubles, because you have a hope in the future, so. So I think we're out of time, so we'll
have to take more questions.
Yeah. Wait till next week. So, Pastor, anyone close in prayer?
Father, we want to thank you for the good news, Lord, that you so loved us and you sent us your Son, who in love died on a cross for our sins and rose again from the dead for our justification. Father, I pray that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit. Pray that we would just be so overwhelmed with your love for us, that you would shed abroad in our hearts a fresh Holy Spirit, the love of God, and that our love for you, Triune God, would increase, and then our love for the world, for the people of the world, would increase. Father, I pray for the Spirit to give us boldness, like even Perry mentioned in the book of Acts. These were characters like us, Lord, who were fearful and timid, like Timothy, and yet you've not given us the spirit of fear. You've given us the spirit of love. Lord, you've also given us a spirit, Lord, of discipline and of a sound mind. And so, Lord, help us to go out trusting you, to walk by faith. And Father, I pray that we would even take Peter's admonition, Lord, that we would intentionally seek, Lord, in prayer, but also in practice, Lord, someone to share the gospel with this week. And Father, that you would even just remind us, Lord, that we live in a dark world and you're coming back, Jesus. Thank you for saving us, but help us now, Lord, to be a light, and help us, Lord, to fulfill the Great Commission as a church to make disciples of all nations. Lord, we pray, help us to this end. We are weak, but thank you that you are strong. Lord, bless us this morning, and help us, Lord, to obey and to delight, Lord, in your goodness, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If anyone wants to grab a tract, they can. Then they can share next week who you gave it to.